The one believing in the Son has life eternal. But he believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and by no means the lust of the flesh will you perform. Galatians 5:16. We're studying 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19 and 20. We've looked at these verses a number of times. These are major, magnificent verses of Scripture on the subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We'll spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, please. Father, we're here today because of your grace. We're still alive because you have a purpose and a plan for us being here. We're studying a magnificent subject. So many truths for us to learn and make application of these truths to our daily living. We're thankful for the fact that we're saved by your grace. We realize that for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. The Bible says it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. So we have absolutely nothing for which to boast about today, in that we are saved by your grace. We have the opportunity to thank you over and over again for the fact of your love and your blessings upon us. These are important moments of study. We pray that you'll guide us, and thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dealing with the subject, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are now looking at point 3. I want you to be able to see that we are emphasizing here that the baptism of the Holy Spirit divorces the believer from the power of the old sin nature. I'd like for you to think with me about that for a few seconds before we move on in this sentence. The baptism of the Holy Spirit divorces the believer from the power of the old sin nature and marries the believer to a second husband with a new way of life. You'll have to think about that for a good while. Let's look at it again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit divorces the believer from the power of the old sin nature and marries the believer to a second husband with a new way of life. It further provides a new marriage counselor for the new life in God, and that's the Holy Spirit. You could see that I could spend a lot of time talking about those sentences I've just given you. I think that as we move along, you'll be able to see it, but let's just look at it again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked the miracle of transformation, which means that you became a recipient of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to you at conversion. God worked a miracle in your life of regeneration, moving you from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. How many thousands of times have we said that? Regeneration, the point of redemption, the point of salvation, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, moved the individual as an unsaved body and soul now to body, soul, and spirit. Why body, soul, and spirit? Because an unsaved person, body and soul, cannot comprehend or understand things that are spiritual. Because they're psychikos, the Bible says. They're soulish individuals. But when you and I accepted Christ and Christ came into our lives, I and you and you and me, when we accepted him and he accepted us, he moved us to body, soul, and spirit. That third part is the ability of the individual to comprehend and understand spiritual things. The unsaved person doesn't have that, isukikos. But the saved person is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. Pneuma is, he's breathing. She is breathing spiritually. So now, God has given the individual in salvation the ability to enjoy and love and appreciate those things in the realm of the spiritual. So what happened here? The baptism of the Holy Spirit divorces the believer from the power of the old sin nature and marries the believer to a second husband with a new way of life. It further provides a new marriage counselor for the new life in God, the Holy Spirit. The inner conflict between the old sin nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is portrayed in Romans 8, 2 through 8. And we've already looked at Galatians 5, 16. So if you will, please, let's look at Romans chapter 8. I cannot exegete these because of the time, but I do want you to see how powerful it is. Romans 8, verses 2 and following. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Look at it, verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind, verse 7, set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 8, 2 through 8. If you'll notice, please, we have it on the screen. The old sin nature has a head start at birth. Now you have to think about what I'm saying here. When you were born, you were born physically alive and spiritually dead. Here you are as a tiny baby. Now, what can you do with all of that as a tiny baby? What is your mental capacity at that time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. What's happening in the mind of that child? The old sin nature has a head start at birth. It is only overcome by a positive attitude toward God's Word, especially understanding the importance of being restored to fellowship. We're discussing this during the break. When a person understands that when they're in fellowship, God gives a system of comprehension. God gives the ability to appreciate, love, enjoy, and even continue to add to their personal knowledge of truth. The prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, and we won't take time to look at this, but look, if you will, please, at John 7, 37 and 39. In those verses of Scripture, you have the prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Do I need to tell you that Age of Israel information is presented to us in the Age of Israel from Genesis chapter 12 on throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, into the Synoptic Gospels, into the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, understanding that the Lord's Prayer is in John 17, not in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer. And so I just throw that out for you. The prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is presented to us in John 7, 37 to 39. It was prophesied prior to the beginning of the church age. Do all of us have the timeline in mind? Do we understand when the church age began? Pentecost, conclusion, rapture? It was prophesied by the prior beginning of the church age by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three spiritual uses of water. One of mentioned in our passage I just referred to, John 7:37-39. Water is used so differently in the Word of God. For instance, when you go to Isaiah 55:1, Revelation 22:17, water is used in relationship to salvation. When you go to John 3:5 and Ephesians 5:26, water is used in relationship to biblical truths. When you go to John 7:39, water is used in relationship to the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't need to know all of this, but it's good to be aware of the fact that when you go to John 14:16-17, Christ again prophesied the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when he said, the Spirit will be in you. The primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's think about this for a few moments. The primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the indwelling, which is permanent. The filling is temporary. The primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in your body for the indwelling of the other two members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. This provides motivation for the attainment of spiritual objectives. Am I explaining myself clearly? Let's repeat. The primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The primary objective is to provide a temple in your body for the indwelling of the other two members of the Trinity. This provides motivation for the attainment of spiritual objectives. What should we do? Advance to maturity. And glorification of Christ is accomplished through the filling of the Spirit and perception of biblical truths. Oh, if I could just get this over. It's important for you and me to realize that God has a purpose and a plan for our individual lives. We're not here by accident. We're here at this particular time because God wants us here at this particular time. And since we're here at this particular time, God has brought about salvation in your life and mine because we've accepted Him. He's accepted us. And as a result of that, it is not an accident that we're here. And He wants us to bring honor and glory to His name, Shekinah glory. And we're not going to do that if we're not properly related to Him on a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. Perception of doctrine is related to the teaching ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit provided accuracy of recall through a photographic memory for the writing of Scripture. You find this in John 16:12-15, 1 Corinthians 2:9-16, and 1 John 2:27. Look at this, will you please? Anointing or unction is a synonym for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, you will discover that people didn't have what we have in the church age. We have an emphasis upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they did not have that. But they did have what is known as endowment for specific purposes in God's plan. Anointing or unction is a synonym for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20-27. Anointing relates the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the church age believer as a sign of a royal family membership. Let me see what we just said. Anointing relates the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the church age believer as a sign of royal family membership. Are you aware of how wonderful it is to realize that we're members of royalty. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Are we aware of the fact that since God has worked this miracle in our lives, He desires for us now to be perceptive to His plan, to be perceptive to His Word, stay in harmony, stay in fellowship, stay filled with the Spirit, so that we can begin to advance to the point that we can see most things from the realm of a vertical viewpoint and not human viewpoint. The reason why so many people see from a horizontal human viewpoint is because they do not have divine viewpoint. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not going to have divine viewpoint unless you have the mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we're going to think God's thoughts, we have to know what God says. And we have to know what the Bible says. And we have to receive spiritual fuel daily. It can't be just eating a meal once in a while. If you ate a meal, physical meal, once a month, you'd be in bad shape. If you eat a physical meal once a week, you would be in bad shape. I've got to have spiritual food every single day. That's the reason why every morning, the first thing that enters our mind when we get up, Joyce and I have the responsibility of getting spiritual food for our souls. Are you saying, preacher, you mean you need spiritual? You better believe I need spiritual food. If I need spiritual food, you need spiritual food. And you need it not once a week, not every other day. You need it every single day. So I'm saying to you, perception means that you have a hunger and a desire for the Word of God, and you receive the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. There's enough information from our ministry here on the internet to keep you busy for years if you really wanted it. What's sad is that many people don't even go to our internet and they don't get the messages and they're not learning. If you have a desire to go in another direction, here's someone else. I can recommend some things for you to listen on a day-by-day basis that you can be perceptive to and hear God's Word. Don't get so carried away, preacher. Anointing or unction is a synonym for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in 1 John 2:20. Anointing relates the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the church-age believer as a sign of being a member of the royal family. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the royal family escutcheon. Now, what does that mean? Are you familiar with an escutcheon? We have a family escutcheon. We have a family emblem. Most families have an escutcheon. Okay, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the royal family escutcheon, emblem. Because the royal family lives in the Holy of Holies forever, it's important that we're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit demonstrates that we are royalty. Anointing appoints us ambassadors for Christ. Every born-again believer in this auditorium, every born-again believer hearing my voice today, you have the responsibility of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every single day that you live, someone out there can be influenced by your life and your message. And if God sets up an appointment for you to witness to individuals, take that appointment. Do something with it so that those individuals can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. The distinction between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it. Number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and functional. Let's stop on that for a few moments. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is our fifth session on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want to repeat, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and functional. While the indwelling of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of escrow blessing in the believer's advance to maturity. Oh, this is so beautiful, but kind of heavy. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and functional. While the indwelling of Jesus Christ is a guarantee to escrow blessing in the believer's advance to maturity. What does that mean? The indwelling of Jesus Christ is also in the body and is permanent. There is definite evidence that the backsliding believer does not benefit from the indwelling of Jesus Christ. This is an entirely different subject, and it would take me a good while to explain, but I just want you to see what we're saying here. There's definite evidence that the backsliding believer does not benefit from the indwelling of Jesus Christ. I could draw a picture here and show you that as a born-again believer, draw the circle, put a throne, and put Jesus Christ on that throne in your life. But let's say that you come to a point in your life when you are not allowing Jesus Christ to be the ruler and master of your life. He's still in your life, you're still saved, but you brought yourself up there and put yourself on the throne. So your old sinful nature is in control. So what happens here is, even though you're still in God's family as a saved person because you have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, at that particular point of time, out of fellowship, you do not have the indwelling Christ in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, Christ is not the ruler and master of your life. You are the ruler and master of your life. How sad that is. Oil illustrates the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me go very quickly to this. What does oil do? Most of us are familiar with the engines. We know a little bit about this. Oil lubricates. Friction is removed from the machines by oil, just as the Holy Spirit removes frictions in our lives. Do you have any frictions in your life? Most people do. Most of us do. So the Holy Spirit acts as oil to remove those frictions. Oil heals and is used for medicine. The Holy Spirit heals breaches among individuals. Another thing that oil does is oil gives light. The Holy Spirit illuminates the teaching of the Word of God. Come into this auditorium, please. Do what you do so sweetly and wonderfully. Sit quietly. You're not disturbing anyone. You're listening attentively and carefully. What's happening to you? What's happening is that the Holy Spirit is providing the thrust in your life to maturity. Look at it. Oil lights. The Holy Spirit illuminates the teaching. You don't have to depend upon yourself for illumination. You depend upon God and God's Word and the Spirit to illuminate. So oil lights, but oil propels. The Holy Spirit provides the trust to maturity. Oil invigorates. The Holy Spirit stimulates production. Let me tell you something. The happiest people on this earth are individuals who love God supremely and study His Word every single day. Cleanse of sin, fill the Spirit, studying God's Word. Joy, peace, happiness, contentment. God wants that in your life and mine. Oil also warms. The ministry of the Holy Spirit warms the life of the believer in relationship to the Lord and even in relationship to other believers. What else does oil do? Oil adorns. The Holy Spirit provides inner beauty. Wow. The importance of the power of the Holy Spirit presented to us in 1 Kings 19. Endowment in the life of Elijah. Elijah failed to learn the importance of the Spirit-filled life. He was not indwelt with the Spirit in the same sense that we are. All you have to do is go back and look at this, and you'll see a difference in the life of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, all through those 18 verses. In other words, believers in the Old Testament didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit, but many of them who were placed in positions of divine leadership had the endowment of the Spirit of God. I didn't know I was going to go so fast. I didn't know that I was going to get to page 30, what? 33. At 11:23, the Lord must have known that we need to be on our way to Lake Jackson, Texas. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize that we have such a magnificent and wonderful blessing that's been provided for us. And that is, we have this completed canon of Scripture. We have the Bible, God's Word. And we realize that everything we ever would need to know to direct our lives properly is found right here. It's God's Word for us, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for the ministry of the Spirit of God. We're thankful for perception of individuals who love God and love the Word and desire to grow. That should be the desire of each person, and we thank you for it. For the individuals who hear the message who've never accepted Christ as Savior, what a wonderful time for them. Because this is a decision that relates to eternity. If a person doesn't accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says he who has Christ has life. But he who does not have Christ does not have that life. And so we pray that there will be many right now to accept that life. They may wonder how. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not our words, it's God's word. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Those are not our words. Those are your words. Words from God to the unsaved individuals. Believe, accept on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's simple. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's only one way, and that's salvation through Jesus Christ. And so there will be right now the opportunity presented to every person who's never accepted Christ to do that now. And we thank you that the Spirit of God is dealing with lives, no matter where you are, who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter how greatly you have sinned against God. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and he will save you. He will redeem you. He will cleanse you. He will make you one of his children if you'll trust him now. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.